Welcome to the Sean Chandler Podcast, a place to talk movies and all of nerd culture way too much. Joining me, as always, is Griffin Schiller. How are you doing, man? Anything interesting happen in the world since the last podcast?
No, not at all. Absolutely nothing of interest or value has happened. As far as I'm concerned, A Quiet Place 2 just hit it big at the box office last weekend. Invisible Man is raking in the money. We're heading into Trolls World Tour really soon. I'm super excited about the future of films, so much so that I built myself a mobile rig at my girlfriend's house so that I can record whenever I want, wherever I want, just to stay on top of these films that are coming out, because the releases are not stopping. They're not stopping
like,
at all.
The schedule for the next few months of big releases in the theaters that we will be going out to with crowds of people is just astronomical. We'll be so busy. Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know how we'll possibly be able to keep up with
right.
it. Truly, mind-blowing.
I don't think I'll even be at my house at all over the next few months. The way the universe played out, so we recorded our last episode of the podcast on like a Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I didn't get it posted until like Thursday afternoon. And it was that Thursday where everything imploded. And Quiet Place 2 announced everything. And then as soon as A Quiet Place 2 was announced, then everything came undone instantly.
The world ended.
World ended pretty much. And so as soon as that video went up, it was already, we're talking about all this heavy ramifications of everything. We're going to avoid saying the names of the two big C words out there, because if you say them.
Big C.
The big C, yeah. YouTube.
Speaking of Big C, something else that began with the C happened. Contagion became the number one movie in the world.
Yes, it
because
did.
All of you sick people out there just wanted to see what would happen if this was like the worst disease that ever exists.
Right, right. So YouTube, if they hear that word, not contagion, the other one, they freak out. So we will try and avoid saying it so that this doesn't get demonetized. But yeah, Contagion went just bonkers, and then Outbreak. Of the movies that me and my wife were like, hey, you know, like, what are we in the mood to watch right now to kind of lift our spirits? Those are like the farthest thing in the world from what we're thinking about checking out. But apparently the rest of the world was like, hey, Contagion's a really good movie.
Listen, I will say, I hopped on the bandwagon. I rewatched Contagion. And, you know, aside from the fact that it's just like terrifying because of how real it is, you gotta applaud the foresight that Steven Soderbergh and Scott Z. Burns had. Like, they just had a real understanding of how the CDC, the World Health Organization, and all these people tackles a global I don't know. Can we say the P word, or is that going to get us demonetized?
We'll just say the P word, just in case.
The P word, a global P word. Insert P word of your choice.
I think that'll make this whole podcast funnier, is all the words we're not saying.
Yeah, no, for real. Just rewatching it, I actually forgot how good it is. I think it might be.
I've never
Steven
seen it.
Soderbergh.
So,
watch it, man. Maybe do like a. Do one of those watch along parties, you know? That could be fun.
That's probably true. People keep asking, hey, what are you going to do next watch along? Contagion it is.
Yeah, it's a sick joke, but it's a really, really good movie.
So anyway, as we kind of go into this, because everything's kind of been on hold, I took last week off entirely. It was, in one sense, related to all of this. In another sense, it wasn't. Because Griffin and I were supposed to be hanging out in person at South by Southwest last week, going to press screening, seeing A Quiet Place 2, seeing Mulan, and then all these other film festival movies. Because all that was canceled. It was also my kid's spring break. I just went, I'll take the week off. It just seemed like the universe was telling me that. Plus, it was like, if we're going to have this weird season where I got to change everything, I should probably just rest and relax a little bit in preparation for it. So I just took the week off. And in that time, I mean, all of the movie news is exactly the same. Everything's postponed. Or two pieces of movie news. It's postponed, or it's coming to VOD early. And so that doesn't make for too much of a interesting podcast. So we're just going to have a freeform kind of talk for a little bit about the things that have been interesting to us. See where it kind of goes. I'm sure we'll talk about the movie industry and all that. But you know, we don't have a big plan because it's, we haven't even talked, so we just got to process life.
I know, yeah, this is it. You'll be watching us just basically catch up on everything. No, but it is funny though, because so I'm a news writer for Award Circuit, right? And so like I have to tackle like X amount of news stories a day, and like as I'm going through, like the past week was probably the easiest time I've ever had writing for the site, because it's just like, oh, it's another film getting delayed. Oh, it's another VOD release. Oh, this theater is closing. Oh, this celebrity has the coronavirus.
Three related to what we talk about are that, and then I guess the theater's closing would be the third one, and then tangentially, like, celebrities getting it. So I guess there are four things that we talk about.
Also, you might want to just drop out the rest of everything I said after the C there, and then just put a bleep in. So that actually might make the podcast funnier.
I wrote the time code down for when you started to say inappropriate C words on my podcast.
I'm so sorry. It just slipped out, man. I couldn't help it. But I don't know about you, but I am absolutely ecstatic to. I'm thrilled to be able to purchase Bloodshot tomorrow for $20. That is the highlight of my week.
Pretty pumped about, yeah, the $20 one. When I first heard it, I was like, okay, that doesn't sound too crazy. And then when it was like, my wife and I were like, hey, well, let's watch Emma. And it was like $20 to rent it for 2 days? Yeah. No, I'm not feeling that. I am not feeling that. That's good. Okay. I think what they need to figure out inside of that is if you do that, you get like a $10 discount if you buy the digital version or something like something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
That ties into it, or say that you can, for $20, watch it one time, or for $25, you get the digital version when it comes out. You can only watch it once right now, and then you can. So there seems like there's a version of it, because when you're like $20 just to watch it once at my house,
it's kind of ridiculous. Yeah, but I mean, like, I get what they're going for, like, because they're assuming that you're going to watch it with at least one other person.
Exactly.
And that's like two tickets at the movie.
Exactly.
But
in LA, it's like half a ticket at a movie.
Yeah, that's very true. Which is why I use A-List or just go to press screenings. But to be fair, Universal was the first studio to come out with this, right? And so, like, they took the first step. They're like, all right, so we'll make our titles currently in theaters and Trolls World Tour available on VOD to rent for a 48-hour period for $20. They were the first ones to take the step. Sounded reasonable at the time. But then, like, Warner Brothers came out, and they're like, all right, we're just going to drop Birds of Prey next Tuesday for $20. You can own it. There you go. We're going to drop The Way Back next Tuesday. You can own it for $20. Sony comes out, and they're like, we're going to drop Bloodshot for $20 next Tuesday. Have at it. So now, after the other studios have been like, well, there's really no reason for you not to own this movie. You can't watch it in theaters. And $20 for a rental period is kind of steep.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, we're going to let you guys own it. And then Universal should probably be looking at that and be going, okay, maybe you should just be able to own it. Because, The Invisible Man had like a $70 million budget, right? And so, like, theoretically, that movie has made
its
money 70? Back in then.
You mean seven?
No, I said seven. But
okay,
I
it sounded
I
like
70.
I was
I
like,
know.
That is not correct. But no, I know you know that. Just in case, for the sake of the podcast, it's a $7 million, so it's already wildly profitable.
Exactly. So it's like, just drop
it. What are you
just
doing?
Drop it on digital to own. Like, and especially The Hunt, like, that movie's been like put through the ringer twice. You can't watch that movie. No one is going to rent The Hunt for 20. I mean, some people have, but realistically, not a lot of people are going to say that movie's worth renting. He rented it for $20?
$20, yeah. He's the one.
Did he say it was good?
He was just like, you know, it was okay. He thought it was too front-loaded on the violence. Like, he's going to be as interested in all the politics stuff. So the part where humans are getting hunted, that, you know, I don't want to say too much about the movie, but the way it's designed, the body count in the first 30 minutes is much, it's higher in the first 30 minutes than it is in the next hour. And it's a lot of the interesting stuff that you go into it for is front-loaded. And so if you're not as interested in the other things and the mystery and some of the political messaging, then I think that's where he'd be kind of coming from. But I don't want to speak too much for him. But he was kind of like that middle of the road. There were things he really liked about it, but otherwise he was like, this should have been a lot better than it was.
Yeah, so basically not worth a $20 rental
fee.
No. Listen, if I'm being honest, the only film that's worth the $20 rental fee is The Invisible Man, because I can see people watching that multiple times within that 48-hour period. I rented it last night, rewatched it. It still was as effective as the first time I saw it, but I really do miss seeing it in a theater with the surround sound. Yeah.
Well, that's what my wife. She's not normally a horror person, but that one caught her attention. It was getting good reviews and everything. It's like, I think you'll get really into this one. And then it was $20 to rent it. And I'm like, I know I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
And if that's a month from now, is that 2 months from now? So I'm paying $20 and then I'm paying $20 again a month from now. I just can't justify that. And that's, I think in general, the current, the VOD and the, it's on digital first, I think just built into that, they need to have better options for people that like digital media. Like I use Vudu and for, I think 60% of releases, they have a disc plus digital option. And so then a new, when the movie first comes out on digital, you click the disc plus digital. It's like normally like $5 more. You get the digital version now, and then they mail you the actual physical copy whenever that's available 2 weeks later. And that's there's so many of these movies that, you know, I see them before my wife or my kids. So I want to show them as quick as possible. I know I'm going to buy it. And it's so frustrating when some of them were just sitting there like, I have to wait 2 weeks. Like we would have watched Onward, but Disney's one of the ones that doesn't do the disc plus digital. And so, you know, and obviously that's a very unique case. That came much earlier. I'm not trying to pick up like Onward's distinctly different, but like if it I could get the disc, I would have done it instantly. We would have watched Onward if it had a promise for a disc.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, especially for people who do want the physical media. But that's another one where it was like Disney, like I thought for sure Disney would have gone the rental route too, but no, they just dropped it on there and they're like, listen, you can buy Onward for $20. It'll be on Disney Plus at the beginning of April.
Yeah.
Which is, they should have done that first because that movie just got buried. Like, and I feel so bad for it because it's such a great film, great messages, a lot of fun. It's the perfect movie to release right now for the whole family quarantined at home. I'm surprised they didn't, you know, what they did with Frozen 2, I'm surprised they didn't just do that with Onward, you know, as well. I think that film is seriously, hands down, going to go down as one of the most underseen and underappreciated Pixar films ever made.
Well, it's set up to be that. You know, it seems a little bit divided amongst people. No one's hating on it that I've heard from. Not everyone loves it as much, but no one's hating on it. Like I'm kind of like, I gave it a B, and every time I think about it, it's like, yeah, that's about right. It's entertaining. It's got some good emotion, but I did have some problems with it. But other people just loved it, but nobody's both. It was lackluster when it debuted. And then obviously everything happening in society had some consequences for it as well. So I think long term, that's going to be like the standout one of like, oh, you haven't seen Onward. You got to check out Onward, which is very uncommon for a Pixar movie to be in that position.
Yeah. Well, and then it, you know, begs the question, like, where's New Mutants?
I was about to ask you, like, what are they going to do with New Mutants?
Dude, just put that film out of its misery. Yes, my God. Yes. The cast, Josh Boone especially. Oh, my. I feel horribly for that man. And what he made, because he was able to go back and basically piece together the film that he wanted to because of all the issues that happened with it. They were just like, well, you know, we've already gone this far. Just make the movie you want to make. So I guess it was like it went so far into the production hell that it kind of reversed back and they were like, you know, we don't want to deal with this anymore. Make New Mutants the way you want to make it. And so, yeah, I don't know, man. That thing needs to go on Hulu. It needs to go on Disney Plus, I don't know. Maybe it's too like edgy for Disney Plus, but like it needs to go somewhere because this is like that movie is primed to be like number one on like the digital charts if they were to drop it right now.
Exactly. That's the thing to me that like when there's something distinct where you can find those movies that are just right in that sweet spot where you think it doesn't as a superhero movie, it's not a $500 billion movie that marquee stuff. Like it's tied to X-Men, but it's not the X-Men. It's not this one that's just gonna get people to show up in theaters in droves because they know what it is and they love these characters. And likewise, it doesn't have the trailers haven't just blown people's mind. And then there's all this controversy surrounding it. And so it's like, it's not like when they put it in the theaters, they're going to just rake in dough or something like that, like with Black Widow or something like that, where you have, or Wonder Woman, where you have to delay it. It's in that spot where it has just enough connection to stuff that's, it, it's easy to make someone watch it at home. They're not going to pay $20 to get on date night to go to the theaters to see it, because they're not quite sure to take the gamble on it. But if you're just sitting there and this trailer comes up, like in the world of the X-Men, suddenly you go, oh, in the world of the X-Men, like you just say mutants and you put Marvel on the screen. You wait, wait, there's a Marvel movie that I can watch at my home for free. It's just, it's the same thing, kind of like the Bird Box and these other Netflix movies that just kind of take off because they have this thing that there's a person you recognize plus a brand, like something about it that just, it's like, oh, that's a little bit interesting. I'll click on that. Oh, Marvel movie at my house. Yeah. I'll click on that because they don't have to spend money. It's perfect for streaming. And right now, if you drop it, it makes a big splash because it's a Marvel movie. It's Marvel at your home while we're all locked in at home. And so it could actually make a splash at any point in time. If you put New Mutants in the theaters, if this thing's not like 90 plus on Rotten Tomatoes, where everyone just thinks it's phenomenal, if it's not just an incredible movie, which is probably not that, then it won't make a splash in the theaters. It might do good unless it really surprises us and it's incredible. But if it was, they wouldn't have been delayed for 2 years. It's probably divisive. Yeah. It's a movie that's tough to find its audience, which that stuff is perfect for streaming because all you have to be able to do is you don't have to convince someone to leave their house. You don't have to convince them to spend $20. You just have to convince them to go, oh, free Marvel movie. Click. Well, so perfect now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'd even say, you know, offer the option to buy it digitally. Offer the $20 VOD option, but then also have it on, like, a streaming. Do what they did with Onward, right? Do a first, like, look, or not first look, but do, like, a first run on VOD for, like, a couple of weeks for $20. The people who want to see it immediately will watch it there. It'll get the word out. People will either, like, say, hey, watch this movie or don't. You'll get some sort of mixed reaction. And then drop it on like Hulu or Disney Plus, like two or three weeks after that. That to me makes the most sense. That way you get the people who want to purchase it, but then you also get everyone else who is looking, you know, who just wants to watch it on streaming, and then you'll get like the Bird Box effect. Yeah, I don't know. I something tells me in the coming weeks we'll see an announcement that like from them saying the New Mutants is gonna, you know, drop on Hulu or whatever. Like there has to be one, right? Because like, first of all, this film has been delayed for so long. You've kind of worn out the hype behind it. I mean, everyone wants to see like what the hell this project is, but like the build up in the hype. I mean, like I don't know if this film was really going to perform well at the box office to begin with. Just because it's already kind of like people are burnt out from it. They just want to see it. So, you know, I agree with you, man. They just need to drop it. It's waited too long. They've gone through like two marketing campaigns. They've dropped like another trailer. It just, you know, just put this thing out of its misery.
Yeah. I'm actually very fascinated by the fact that that wasn't an immediate announcement. Like they have a plan for a Pixar movie to drop on Disney Plus a month after its theatrical release. That is like, that's one that we're like, wow, this is big stuff. Everyone has been speculating for a year that they're just going to drop it on Hulu. That's what we all thought they were going to do. Like, all right, they're just going to throw it on Hulu because what else are they going to do with it? And then they announced they were going to actually put it out in April. And we're like, really? Wow. Didn't see that one.
They must still think that they can make a lot of money off of the X-Men name, which I don't think they can at this point, just because like no one knows what this is, right? Like it's like a horror superhero movie, kind of like you know, Cronenberg's The Fly or something like that. Yeah. That's all we really know, but like that doesn't immediately appeal to mass audiences who go to superhero films,
right?
It'll appeal to the horror crowd and people who like more genre-centric films, but like I don't know, like my like casual viewers or casual fans of the X-Men are not going to rush out to see this film. So
and
I
they
agree
didn't
with you.
Rush out to see Dark Phoenix.
Exactly,
and that's the part where you go, "What are you guys doing?
Yeah, it's like people are already basically telling you with their wallets they're kind of burnt out of this whatever X-Men franchise is. So just drop it. Yeah, I don't know.
I was trying to look up the budget. Look up the budget to see if I could find it, like how much this movie cost. Because that's what I'm even thinking. Like, it couldn't have cost so much money that they feel like there's a budget. Like, it doesn't look like a big, expensive movie. I couldn't find the budget, unfortunately. But I mean, you just watch the trailers, and it I mean, it's not under $10 million, but it's also not $100 million, or it shouldn't be. And so it's one of those ones where you just kind of go, what? Why are you dragging this thing out? What possible end game do you see, or what possible outcome that is a positive? And there's a certain point in time where you're making a joke out of yourselves, because the movie itself is already a joke with the movie, and you're choosing to continue to push it back. Like, that's this ongoing joke about, by the time this movie comes out, they're going to be old mutants. Like, there's already all these jokes and memes out there about it, and nobody really, you can't fault them for pulling the movie after the big C, if you choose to be like, no, we're actually going to try and put it out in October, like, come on, like, you have a movie that is not going to be a big blockbuster, but does have brand recognition, prepackaged, ready to release. Everyone in streaming is thinking, what can we put on streaming? Everyone is streaming. Europe is being like, hey, we got to tell them they can only do standard definition to save the internet or something like that. Everyone is streaming stuff. This is your prime opportunity to have for streaming services, premium content.
Yeah.
What a bizarre at least at this point, bizarre. Like,
yeah,
maybe by the time we post this, they'll have announced it. We'll be out of date once again. But
I mean, that seems to be in line with how things go.
Yes.
But one more thing before we move away from this, to play devil's advocate, if they did drop it in October, I could see that doing well for them because it is horror centric, and you know, maybe if this thing is cleared up, then people will be more excited to go see that. Because I think the only real like holiday film coming out around Halloween is Halloween Kills, which I don't know if this thing continues, that film might even get delayed.
Right.
So
well,
go ahead.
I was going to transition to our next subject on that point. So if you want to finish out your thought, I'll transition.
Yeah, no, all I'm saying is, like, if they are holding out for something, if they are holding out for an October release, I can understand that. I still don't think it would get as much traffic as if it were to be dropped right now, just plain and simple.
So transitioning, using what you just said there about October right now, only has Halloween in the month. And at least for right now, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah.
So let's move into the speculation game, which is everything we're saying right now is there's no way to have any idea. What do we think is going to happen with the planned release schedule? Because if you just take 3 months of movies and delay them, there's already movies there. And so then you think, like, are they going to say, let's push? And then the movies that are supposed to come out 6 months from now, work is being stopped on them, so that, like, you know, like with Minions, that one just got punted. That, like, they can't finish animating it, and so then the movie's getting delayed, not because they don't think people could show up to it, but because they can't finish it. So are we thinking that they – or that's the discussion. Is this going to turn into just, like, this trickle down of, like, the whole slate of the future just gets shuffled back 3 months? So Tenet might get pushed back. Not because theaters aren't open, but because that's where Warner Brothers needs to put Wonder Woman.
I can see. Well, listen, I think Wonder Woman and Tenet are too close to each other to really affect, you know, the slate. I mean, they're basically like a month and a half apart, right? So, like, I guess by the time Tenet comes out, Wonder Woman will have fizzled out.
If they delay, let's say theaters reopen mid-June. So Wonder Woman does get delayed. Theaters reopen June. So July is clear. Tenet is going to have promotion, or that date is good. People are going to be like pumped to go back to the theaters. So are they going to take Wonder Woman? And I'm just using this as an example to explain kind of where I'm going. But because that's when things open back up, mid-June, does Warner Brothers say, okay, let's put Wonder Woman on the Tenet date and push Tenet back? Or do they keep Tenet on that date and put Wonder Woman where?
Yeah.
What do they do?
Yeah, I think what happens with that is they leave Tenet where it's at. Well, one of two things. There are two scenarios that I see here. One, they leave Tenet where it's at and they put Wonder Woman in December, and then Dune gets pushed back into 2021. I think that's what we're looking at right now. Or Wonder Woman moves into Tenet slot, Tenet moves to December. Tenet already has prestige behind it, yeah. So maybe this gives it a chance to gives it an Oscar push, and the only film it really is competing with is West Side Story. So I think that either Tenet or Wonder Woman would crush it in December. It just depends on how they're looking at it. I mean, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out in July last year. That had awards conversations surrounding it all the way through the season. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of, do they want to do the big splash like 1917 did last year, or do they want the conversation to continue throughout the entirety of award season? Because it's going to be... It is going to be so jam-packed. If the festivals even happen, there's going to be so many films in there. There's going to be films that can't even find slots. There's going to be a million screeners because films are not premiering earlier in the year. So maybe putting Tenet in December is beneficial because it'll be in people's minds more recently. It's just a matter of fact of what they wanted to do. But I think it is one of two options there, and I do think Dune gets pushed to next year.
No. I think just in like where my brain is thinking right now, I wouldn't be surprised if almost every date that we have on the calendar right now is basically shot, because it turns into just a gigantic reshuffle of both, because they have to do something with their movies that they plan for right now. And then everything that's down the line had production issues because it was shut down. And that just says this is an ongoing trickle down of issues that where they just go and they're going, okay, it's who knows what's about to happen. But everything about this is unprecedented, but we can't stick to any of these dates because we don't know what's coming. So all bets are off. And essentially the entire future calendar is cleared as everyone is trying to go remap everything in a world that we don't even know what it looks like.
Right. Well, and here's the other thing. The Big C could have a resurgence in the fall, given the colder temperatures and whatnot. So we have no idea realistically what's going to happen there. I will say this. I do think the movies that moved prior to first of all, we were all criticizing No Time to Die moving before this whole thing happened. Mm-hmm. Barbara Broccoli and Michael G. Wilson had the foresight to make a really good choice there. And so they've got a prime slot in November. I don't think that film's moving should things clear up by that time. I think that they're going to hit that release date, and that's going to be probably the biggest movie of the fall, to be fair. And I think Godzilla and Kong is also going to hit that release date. What's the other film? Eternals. Eternals will definitely still stay there, unless that gets pushed back because of post-production. Yeah. The only film that I am certain will hit that release date is No Time to Die, because that is a finished film. Yeah. So that might be the only movie we're looking at that stays put in November.
Man, and then like you said, if there's a resurgence, which there's a lot of speculation that it will, it'll get better. Things will die down, and then something will happen, in which case, man, we're playing this game all over again.
Whew,
so much has changed since our last podcast.
I'll ask you this. Which big films do you think they just like bite the bullet and drop on VOD? Like, do you think I'm thinking A Quiet Place 2 hits VOD soon. I think that's one that's going to hit it soon. I know John Krasinski really wants...
Well, you say people first big movie to get dropped? Lovebirds, obviously.
Oh, man. Lovebirds. Well, okay. Interestingly enough,
And I'm excited for that movie. That stuff, like, when you have a wife, that's a movie that's just perfect to sit down. I'm totally on the Kumail Nanjiani kick right now. All of his stuff.
Yeah.
I'm digging it all.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm definitely really excited for that too. But that's an interesting situation, because I believe there were conversations already happening between Netflix and Paramount to drop that film on Netflix. So it's just like the timing of everything really, I guess, kind of pushed that in that direction, even though it was something that was kind of already going to happen. So, you know, good for them. I think they're going to get, like, that film's going to get in front of a lot of eyes, and it'll do better than I assume it was going to. So, but anyways, to bring it back to the question, what big films do you think our studio is going to bite the bullet on and drop on VOD?
Okay, let's see which. So I, like, trying to think through which ones are coming out. Like, Black Widow, not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, okay, I'll say this. Depending on how long this thing goes on,
yeah,
I could see it, because it is like it. While yes, it's a MCU movie, it is also sort of like in that mid. It feels like a mid-budget MCU movie, like, and it's centered around a character where we already know her fate,
yeah,
and this is basically all backstory and just contextualizing things. So I could see them maybe sacrificing on Black Widow. I don't think it'll happen though.
Yeah. I always said before they announced the Black Widow movie that seemed like a show I would like to see. Like, Black Widow is a spy show, 8 episodes, like what they're doing with Falcon and Winter Soldier. That seemed like that made sense to me. And then as the movie, I was like, okay, I guess we got to do that. But I would have preferred to see, yeah, like an 8-episode, deeper, longer character story stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, I think something like Saw or Spiral, yeah, seems one that's not. Horror movies in general, they work better with a crowd. Comedies work better with a crowd. But when you're talking about movies that you can get a lot of people to watch it, and you don't need to make $500 million, you don't need to make $1 billion for it to be profitable, mm-hmm, Spiral seems like something that you drop that on any streaming, people are pumped about it. People are like, oh, a new Saw movie. Oh, check that out.
Yeah.
I think, like, it's kind of the same reason with A Quiet Place. Of, this isn't a movie, like, it will make a lot of movies if you put in the theaters, but it doesn't need to be a big. It doesn't have the cost. It doesn't have a big hole you have to fill in. So I think that, for that same reason, I think that one applies. So what are the other things that are?
I mean, what do we have? I mean, Top Gun 2. There's no way Tom Cruise is releasing a movie on VOD. So, like, that's, you know, you can count that one out already.
It's purely based off of, I'm Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I don't think I'd want. Well, a lot of that movie was shot in IMAX too, so it's like, I don't think that film. I wouldn't want to see it.
How heartbreaking would that be if 35 years later, that's what they ended up having to do.
See, that's, yeah, man, that's the other thing. Whew. Like, yeah, no way, man. Same reason, like, I mean, Christopher Nolan's film, he'd rather die before he dropped, yeah, the movie on VOD. Wonder Woman, they'll push that movie back 3 years if they have to.
Purge was supposed to come out.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, any that would of be that, a good one. Any of that Blumhouse-level type things, I think, lend themselves to for the same reason that the business model works for theaters, I think it works for, mm-hmm, streaming, because it's like, oh, that's an interesting idea. Oh, that's a new one of those. And you're just, yeah, sitting there one night, and it doesn't require anything of you. So,
right. But I don't. I mean, what other movies in May are we missing out aside from, oh, Scoob, the Scooby Doo one? I could see Warner Brothers doing something similar to what Disney did with Onward, or maybe what DreamWorks is going to do with Trolls World Tour, although I don't think people are going to pay like $20 to rent either of those films, so maybe more along the Onward route.
Scoob, you've got enough, yeah, built-in multi-generational, and there's people that like beloved, or Scooby-Doo's beloved. I think you could get some nostalgia people, from yeah, that. Trolls, I don't know who's like, $20 to rent that per day. Absolutely.
I don't know. Well, let me ask you this. Are you going to do it? Are you going to rent it to review it?
I think movie reviews have never been all that successful on my channel. And I almost view right now as like this way to like almost clear the slate and make it so that I don't feel as obligated to review everything anymore. There's almost a, yeah, positive side to it of like, am I going to pay $20 to review a movie that that's not my target audience? Like, I'd lose money reviewing it.
There's no point. Yeah. And there are better movies for your kids to watch, I guarantee.
And if I could, back to what we said before, if I'm buying it for $20 and so my kids could keep watching it in the future, maybe I might have to undo what I just said. I might, because I'm looking to expand some of my other things tied to my creative options. It's a musical, mm-hmm. so I'm looking to do more things where I kind of talk about the music of movies and stuff like that. So there's a chance, yeah. because I would rank the songs, and I think that video would do better than my review of the movie. So because of that, because of this other strategy, I might do it to see if this thing pans out.
Wow.
Because my ranking of the Frozen 2 songs did better than my ranking of the Disney movies that I did after Frozen 2, which made me go, people are interested in the songs, right. and there's less supply of people talking about that. So anyway, talking a little bit too much of my strategy for content gallery.
There you go, kids. If you wanna, if you wanna, you know, copy Sean Chandler and you wanna take a page out of his book, there's your free business plan right there.
There you go.
That'll be $100, please.
But then the other side to it is, if I have no movie reviews, then if I do any movie review, there's demand for me reviewing movies, and there's the one I have, Trolls 2.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I had all these people calling it Trolls 2, and I kept being confused. Like, why are people talking about reviewing Trolls 2? I'm like, why are they want to review one of the worst movies of all time? The animated movie.
Yeah.
I legitimately got confused by that a couple of times. Like, what?
Yeah, that's I didn't even think about that, but yeah, that's funny.
Are you going to review Trolls 2 next month? No, why would I do that? Oh,
no, what?
Trolls World Tour.
Yeah, duh. Yeah. No, I don't think I'm going to rent it. Not for $20. I was probably never going to see that movie unless I got like a screening for it. And now I'm definitely not going to see that movie. But. Yeah, I don't know. I guess going back to the blockbuster thing, yeah, I think Quiet Place 2 will eventually see that on VOD, unless they just want to push it back to the summer and use that as kind of like a tester for whether people are going to go back to the theater or not. But A Quiet Place 2, Spiral, I agree with that. What about like Antlers and Antebellum? Like those, put those movies
all,
on VOD.
All of those,
like,
all of that stuff. Yeah, yeah, everything in that. Yeah. Everything mid-budget, it just feels like right now, people will watch it. It's a new thing. And like, it gets a headline just because you did it. Like, we're talking about Lovebirds being picked up by Netflix, and we're like suddenly talking about that movie a lot more only because they're doing the streaming thing, and everyone is wondering what they can stream. I put out this video today, like, you know, 10 movies to watch while you're in quarantine, shared it on my personal Facebook page. People never interact, like on my personal page, my friends and stuff, they like watch my videos, but they don't like, share, comment on that stuff. They'll talk to me afterwards. I posted this one and it's suddenly getting shared by my real world friends, and they're commenting like, thanks for the recommendations. Oh, I'm definitely going to check this out, because people are looking for stuff to watch because everyone's like just sitting at their house.
They're bored.
And they're bored. So I think anything that's not a big blockbuster just feels primed. Drop it on streaming right now.
Couldn't agree more.
And even to the degree of like trying to be strategic, what are we going to do in the fall and everything, things come back together? We don't even know what the world's going to look like. We are in uncharted territory, bizarro world. Like, we are in the plot of a movie, right? We are in Contagion right now.
We really are, yeah.
And so when we're talking about what is going to happen, like, you know, what should we do with this $10 million movie? Well, you should drop it. Cut a deal with Netflix real quick. Cut a deal with Hulu or get HBO Max or whatever up as quick as possible. Just make it happen.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No. I agree. Yeah. I don't know. Well, speaking of HBO Max, I think this was kind of where I was going with the Onward thing. Like, HBO Max is going to drop very soon. Which perfect timing for Time Warner. They're going to get a whole bunch of people signing up for a million different reasons. Also, I have like a million different directions where I want to go with this HBO Max thing. But starting with this, put Scoob out on VOD for $20 to buy. Couple weeks later, put it on HBO Max. Then people can watch it there. They're going to have the Friends reunion special on there. And
I think if
you
they
know
can,
what?
If they can put Scoob on HBO Max, you just sync those two up. You just sync it up.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get people to sign up for your thing? You have to have something that has name brand recognition that actually is interesting and good. I'm way more likely to sign up for HBO Max to see Scoob with my kids. Like, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah.
Friends reunion? Like I think that, like, you sync those two things up. That's where, it, like, at HBO Max, they start talking to all these studios, these movies they don't know what to do with. All these ones we just talked about, they cut a deal where for $15 per month, suddenly you're able to watch all these ones plus this other whole archive of other stuff. And you go, oh, all these new other things I can watch now that aren't on Netflix. It's like the ultimate promotional tie-in that's like a win for everybody. Anyway,
yeah,
I cut
no,
you
I,
off,
I
could, but you
no,
made
no,
my
no,
brain
but,
think.
But that's an excellent – no, I think that's an excellent point. You're right. They could they could forego the VOD and just immediately put Scoob on HBO Max and say, boom, there you go. The other thing, I'm going to say it. I know your fans are going to – you're going to get some people in your comment section saying whatever, but I'm going to say it. Drop the effing Snyder Cut right now. There has never been a better time to release the Snyder Cut than right this moment. I don't know if it's finished. I don't know if Zack Snyder is working in a basement to complete this thing right now. But I know that based off of the entire cast, off of all the evidence we've gotten, off of Zack Snyder's Vero post and whatever, there is a cut. It does exist. Drop it. Right now, what are you waiting for? Like, it is the film is, it is primed to generate a conversation because everyone is under lockdown.
Yeah,
like I don't even have to worry about giving it a theatrical release.
On Twitter right now, it's like Thor 2, Iron Man 3 are trending just because people are just so desperate to interact with people, so they're debating what the worst MCU movie is. Like, this isn't even a new conversation. The newest of those movies came out 7 years ago. And it's like trending right now because people are, I just got to talk about something. So right to your point, like, if you got the Snyder Cut, you just have it there. And like, what is the negative for Warner Brothers? Like, what's the blowback that they would get for putting this out there? It's none.
There is none.
Because the world, there's so many other crazy, insane things going on where everyone's scared about all kinds of the economy, certain big C's out there, and just the everything insane going on in the world. Nobody's going to be like, well, Warner Brothers. They're just going to, like, be debating the movie for a week. And yeah. Interesting concept. Yes.
I don't see, like, especially with HBO, and I've said this, like, when they were originally announcing HBO Max, make the Snyder Cut an HBO Max exclusive. But now, with everything that's going on, with people under quarantine, and HBO Max coming out soon, they need to 100% make that an HBO Max exclusive, because then, if you pair that with the Friends reunion and a Scoob digital release on HBO Max, then you've got something really exciting, new, and different to offer people who are, like you said, straight up looking for any sort of new content that they can, or just anything to watch that they haven't seen before. It is a no-brainer. Now, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Zack Snyder is still in the process of putting together something and the film is not finished. But if this thing continues, this quarantine continues, I have to imagine that they're going to consider the possibility. They have to. Like, it's just too obvious.
And you should just look at, what do we have? Like, what's just sitting there, not making us money? And because they don't have revenue streams. All of their revenue streams are cut. So you just have to think, what can we do right now that'll just get people to spend their money that they're otherwise spending on toilet paper or whatever? What are those things?
Yeah.
Snyder Cut. All right, let's kind of close out. Obvious question at hand. People have free time. Let's just throw this one out there. What are some of those recommendations that you just have for people to watch right now, whether it's a TV show to binge or movie? And, you know, to state the obvious, let's move away from, don't tell me Inception.
You
should
first
check
of all,
out the, you guys seen Endgame? If you guys haven't seen Endgame, you should check out Endgame. So some interesting picks.
Yeah, no, I, I, uh, Well, it's funny right now. I'm going through rewatching the Harry Potter film, so obviously, and I don't think those are streaming anywhere. So, but if they were, you know, now's a great time to go back into Potter world. But first of all, if you're not watching HBO's Westworld, now's a great time to get caught up. Third season is underway. It's excellent. There's two seasons already out. They're 10 episodes each. They're like an hour to an hour and a half long for each episode, so you'll definitely be spending a lot of time with it.
Hold on that note right there. Totally different show, but so that Westworld is showrunner is Christopher Nolan's brother, Jonathan Nolan. So he previously did a show called Person of Interest that was on CBS. Yeah. So it's definitely a CBS procedural. But if you can get past that, it's Jim Caviezel kind of fighting crime in New York City. And it has like this sci-fi bent about this machine that can kind of predict the future and surveillance. That has this deeper mythology. I really enjoyed watching it. And it definitely has some of that like Nolan touches and kind of how it does framing of his storytelling and stuff like that. That one is on Netflix for streaming right now for free.
Well, and I'll take that a step further. Season 3 of Westworld actually kind of has stuff that reminds me of Person of Interest. So, like, if you watch Person of Interest and you haven't watched Westworld, go watch Westworld. And then when you get to season 3, you'll be, there'll be some really cool stuff going on there. But yeah, I am a massive fan of Westworld. Watch that. On Netflix, I just watched Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events, the Jim Carrey one, which I think is a criminally underrated film, and I love it. If you're looking for like a deep cut family early 2000s film, give that one a rewatch. It's a lot better than I think people gave it credit for. And I have no idea why it never got as big as Harry Potter. On Amazon Prime, I just watched Super 8. Great J.J. Abrams film that I think a lot of people overlook.
It's ahead of its time. It's very much it's very much Stranger Things from J.J. Abrams, but 4 or 5 years before they hit it big. Same exact kind of like mixture of tween coming of age, nostalgia, and horror. It's all the same ingredients except as a J.J. Abrams movie from 8 years ago.
Yeah, there's significantly more lens flares.
Yes, that's really the only big difference.
I mean, to be honest, I don't know the last time, a little bit of a tangent, but I don't remember the last time you watched it, but one of my favorite parts of that is...
I watched it in the fall leading up to Star Wars because I ranked all the J.J. Abrams movies, so I watched it about 4 months ago.
Oh, okay. Well, one of my favorite parts of that movie is just Kyle Chandler going off and doing like his side missions. Like that to me felt the most like Spielberg out of like everything in there. It kind of reminded me of Indiana Jones. And so like it was, I don't know. I love Kyle Chandler. I want to see him in more stuff. But
my wife's celebrity crush back in the 90s, Kyle Chandler. 10 years later, she's of marrying age. She meets Sean Chandler, marries him as quick as she can.
I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe there's a contributing factor there.
And then, so he was on Friday Night Lights then, and that was filmed right where I live. I probably, when I drove you around town when you're here last year, I probably was like, that's a shooting location for Friday Night Lights. Like, the movie theater we went and saw Captain Marvel. I'm pretty sure we were right by the high school, so I'm sure I told you some Friday Night Lights stories. So Kyle Chandler's like a legend around here because everybody loved Friday Night Lights because it's, you know, we pretend as if that's exactly what it's like here. Of course, it's not like that. And he lives in the Austin area in Dripping Springs. So anyway. Dripping Springs. He has a spot out here.
Wow, I wonder if he's there right now.
Supernatural guys, too, are also in Dripping Springs.
Oh, wow, I had no idea. You know, talk about a guy who, like, never reached a level of stardom that he probably should have. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyways, last pick I'll give is if you're, like, a more indie fan and you're looking for some, like, indie horror, my favorite film of 2018 was Suspiria. That movie's on Amazon Prime, so go check it out.
So for mine, I don't know. I don't think it's streaming anywhere. For whatever reason, I was in the mood to watch U.S. Marshals, which I'm not recommending you check out. But U.S. Marshals is a spinoff of The Fugitive, which you should absolutely check out. Just kind of classic early 90s thriller with Harrison Ford as a doctor who's basically convicted of murder. And he says, I didn't do it as this one-armed man. And he's being chased by... Tommy Lee Jones, who won an Oscar for his performance. Just great thriller, fantastic score, and great movie. And then they did a spinoff movie out Tommy Lee Jones's character, U.S. Marshals, which is interesting because it's Robert Downey Jr.'s in it and Wesley Snipes is in it. So there's all these like people in it. Great cast. And so it's weird to watch it and be like, watch a very mediocre crime film with Robert Downey Jr. giving this very mediocre kind of non-interesting performance. So that's one that kind of comes to mind. I don't know what other ones. This past week for the first time in a while, I'm just watching stuff because I'm interested in watching it that I haven't watched in a while. Because I don't have any rankings I have to prep for, so it just kind of freed up my whole watching schedule.
Just real quick, I will say if you have access to Pluto TV, they have which I believe is free, so you can download it or stream from it anywhere. They have most, if not all, of the James Bond films on there. So there's another option.
So I'll kick you through some of the ones that kind of been circling through that my wife and I have been thinking about watching. The Wedding Singer. People keep asking me about Adam Sandler movies, and I keep postponing doing anything related to them because he's just done so many terrible movies over the last 10 years. Wedding Singer is just a great late 90s rom-com set in the 80s with just delightful cast, delightful characters, fun, great music. If you want like an adventure film that's like Indiana Jones but not like Indiana Jones, Romancing the Stone from Robert Zemeckis. It has Michael Douglas as kind of the Indiana Jones type character, but more anti-hero. And it's kind of like combines Indiana Jones adventure with except like with a romance novel bent to it. So it's a little bit more romantic in nature, even in obviously the title of it. So if you tried to give here's a phrase that better. It's like if you tried to give the Indiana Jones adventure to a romance novel. And so it's got a little bit of something for everybody. Once again, I watched Jewel of the Nile, the sequel to Romancing the Stone, a couple days ago. Do not recommend Jewel of the Nile. So I didn't watch The Fugitive.
Why would you do that?
I didn't watch The Fugitive. I didn't watch Romancing the Stone. I keep watching their far inferior sequels, but
Well, while we're on the Indiana Jones inspired films, watch The Rocketeer on Disney Plus.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a good movie.
I'm debating if I'm even going to do it for tomorrow, but movies to watch on Disney Plus, Rocketeer's absolutely one of the ones that it's from Joe Johnston. So he's from the Lucasfilm crew. Went on to do Jurassic Park 3, went on to do, or did Jumanji, went on to do Captain America, the First Avenger. And so he has kind of that old school Steven Spielberg vibe to it. And then did The Rocketeer, which is this set during World War II adventure film about this guy with a rocket pack. Timothy Dalton, James Bond, at the time it came out, he was
good.
Still signed on as James Bond as the villain in it. And Jennifer Connelly's in it. I mean, just like the whole cast is great, and it's just this good old fashioned adventure. Fantastic James Horner score, and it's for whatever reason it just got lost in time.
Yeah, man, that movie paired with The First Avenger, and really just his like history with the Lucasfilm is why I think he's the perfect person to direct an Indiana Jones film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they have not tapped him. It bugs me.
There's a lot of those strange things you go, I do not understand why this obvious thing hasn't happened yet.
It's just, he's even more well-equipped to do that than Jurassic Park. So, right. I don't know, man.
To that point, because the connection being period pieces where Jurassic Park, you think, oh, Spielberg, Lucasfilm, but, you know, Island, dinosaurs, not quite the same thing, but he gravitated towards doing The Rocketeer period piece adventure and then period piece adventure. What other Lucasfilm property is a period piece adventure set during World War II? obvious.
Baffling.
But speaking of obvious things that did happen, Rosario Dawson is Ahsoka Tano. Hey, that's a fun piece of
information.
And we're out of time, so we can't talk about it. But in the mid, out of the blue, out of nowhere, they're like, the world's collapsing. Like, hey, Rosario Dawson's going to be Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Wait, didn't you already film all of this? Like, when did this happen? Like, how did this play? And it didn't actually get announced. It got leaked. But I think what happened, because Ahsoka Tano was on this week's episode of Clone Wars, was all about her. And I think there was some sort of tie in there of like, while people are watching something get excited about her, let's leak. By the way, the person that's the obvious person to play her is. So there's one piece of good information in this crazy, 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 crazy world. Where can we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you guys, you can head on over to the FilmSpeak channel. I'm doing Westworld recaps. Should have my recap for episode 2 up shortly. I'm trying out a new segment called Film Essentials. I did one with Lee Winnell for The Invisible Man, but now I'm reaching out to like more journalists. I'm probably going to have Sean on and stuff like that.
Hey, that's my name.
Yeah, there you go. There's Sean. wait, I'm sorry. Your name's Lee Winnell? That's weird. basically, I have people on. It's like part interview, part film recommendations, which is something I think we can all use a little bit more of right now. So you can head on over there, and I'm sure I'll be doing other content. If you also just want to follow me specifically, you can follow me on Twitter at Griff Schiller.
So that's this week's show. We'll be back next week. Stay safe. Keep washing your hands. Don't leave your house. And while you're not leaving your house, be sure to watch my videos, listen to the podcast, subscribe over on all the audio podcast places, follow Griffin at all the places, watch all of his content, and keep talking movies too much.